After filing the complaint, then we proceed to serving the tenant, where they'd get a copy of the summons and the complaint. And what basically is contained within the summons, Eric?
The summons is something that the court puts together for the tenant to read through, and it alerts the tenant as to when a hearing before a neutral magistrate will be conducted and where that hearing will be. And it will usually be about 2 weeks after the summons has reached the tenant. And at that point, the tenant gets to come in and explain to the magistrate why he or she should be able to stay, and the landlord gets to explain to the magistrate why the tenant should have to go. And then the magistrate will make the decision at the hearing.
And so what basic evidence does the landlord need to present at the eviction hearing?
The first thing that the landlord needs to present is that the 3-day notice was hung on the door, that at the time of the hanging of the 3-day notice on the door that the tenant was in breach, that the tenant continues to be in breach as of the day of the hearing, and that the tenant continues to stay in the premises as of the day of the hearing.
So to summarize, they've got to show a breach of the lease, that the tenant has not corrected that breach, that the tenant is still in the premises, and that the 3-day notice was conforms to the law's requirements and was placed on the door on the date that it was claimed to have been placed on the door.
Right, and then lastly, that the tenant is still in possession of the premises. Now that becomes important because if a tenant walks into the court and says to the court, hey, I've moved out, and if the landlord agrees, yes, the tenant has moved out, then the possession action for the eviction will be dismissed, because it's moot at that point. The court is not going to order a tenant to move out if the tenant has already moved out.
Now, believe it or not, whether or not a tenant has moved out is somewhat debatable. At least I've run into cases like that. How about you, Eric?
Very much so. Oftentimes, it's hard to tell whether a tenant has moved out because you go in there and the place looks like a tornado has hit it. You've got couches everywhere, and you've got food in the refrigerator, and you've got clothing laying on the floor, and this may just be a tenant leaving behind a bunch of stuff that he no longer wants, and off he goes. But then other tenants, perhaps they come into court and say, no, Your Honor, I see the pictures that the landlord has of the place where it looks like a wreck, but you know, I'm a slob, and there's no law against me living like a slob.
And, well, you know, what I've found, Eric, is generally it makes it easy to determine move out if the tenant has taken all of their belongings, but you know, in a lot of cases that's not the situation. But it seems to me to hinge upon whether the tenant has returned all copies of the keys that the landlord provided the tenant with. That seems to be one of the determinative factors as to whether a tenant has actually moved out.
That can be a determinative factor. The trouble is, though, that it's one of many factors, albeit a very important one. But in a situation sometimes where you have two or three tenants and copies of the keys were made, sometimes maybe two people have turned in their copies and maybe there's a third copy that got turned in, but a fourth copy had been made and there's still somebody out there living in it. The important thing to remember is that if you have any doubt whatsoever as to whether the tenants have fully moved out, then you need to continue on with your eviction all the way through to the bitter end. You need to get the magistrate's decision and then go ahead and get the writ of restitution, which we'll talk about next.
Well, just one more follow-up on that, or maybe two. I guess one point is, at any time during this process, you know, the parties can still reach a settlement or a resolution. And some landlords and some tenants believe that, you know, if a complaint has been filed, an eviction complaint has been filed, that any negotiation talks should end because a complaint has been filed. But at any time, the landlord and the tenant can get together and still resolve the situation. Of course, you know, a lot of landlords, after they've invested the filing fees and attorney's fees, don't want to stop the action at that point. But there are tenants who are willing to pay or compensate the landlord for the filing fees and the attorney's fees, as well as the back rent and late fees. So that can happen. But just in the situation where you have several tenants, and maybe some have vacated the premises, but others have not, can a landlord dismiss an eviction action as to the tenants that have vacated the premises and continue on with eviction action against the tenants who have not left the premises?
That's correct. The landlord can do that. Another thing is, as well, that sometimes a tenant will come to the court with the money to make things good. And a landlord, it is true, there's nothing to stop a landlord from accepting that and dropping the matter and not going on with it any further. But the problem can be that if this is the third time you've had to evict somebody and they keep coming to the court with the rent, that's a very expensive way to get the rent. So you may be at the end of your patience with the people. And at that point, just because they come to court with the money, it doesn't mean you have to accept it.
And then I guess another tip about the actual hearing itself, at least what I found in Franklin County, is a lot of times eviction court can be a very crowded affair and involves a lot of hurrying up and waiting and more waiting. And a little trick that I found is often the summons will specify that the tenant needs to be there at 9 o'clock. Most cases, the eviction court proceedings don't get started till 9:15 or 9:20 or sometimes even 9:30. But if you want to have your case heard quickly, try to get there before all the other landlords and landlords' attorneys check in, at least here in Franklin County, Ohio. And if you can check in before everybody else, it cuts down on a lot of the wait time, especially because they put them in the order of how people check in.
That's correct. Also, they call the cases in the order as well of whether or not they're going to be contested, such as if they're going to call all the uncontested cases first, where only one party has checked in and the other party hasn't, because they can dispose of those in just a few moments. However, if it looks like both parties have shown up and the case is called and then here's the tenant and here's the landlord standing in front of the court and they're both saying different things, then the court is probably going to say, well, why don't you guys go on out and talk about it in the hall and see if you can try to reach some sort of an agreement. If you can't, come on in and tell my bailiff and we'll call the case again and set it for a hearing a little bit later on in the day. Or in the morning, I should say, so that we can get rid of all of these other cases first. Because there's no point in making people whose cases can be decided in a minute and a half sit around for 20 minutes while you guys debate the facts of your case.
And, you know, following up on that, another way to shortcut the process is if you're there and you see your tenant there waiting before court begins, you're best advised to go over to the tenant and see if there is any resolution. That way, when your case is called, you can say, Your Honor, we've spent several minutes discussing this, and it doesn't appear like there's going to be any resolution, so I'd like to go ahead and proceed with the eviction. And that way, you can avoid having your case go from first to last in line because you've already had a chance to try to resolve the situation with the tenant before actually going up to the judge.
Right. The typical magistrate, upon seeing two parties, will always turn you right around and say, why don't you guys go out and discuss this in the hall? And if you can say at that point, well, we've already discussed it this morning, Your Honor, and it doesn't look like either side can agree to a settlement, then they may just go ahead with you right then.
Right. As far as other issues with the hearing or ways to proceed, do you have any other follow-ups on that, Eric?
Well, yeah, you're going to be called up, and then once your case starts, the bailiff is going to swear in both parties at the same time, and then either your attorney or the magistrate is going to ask those four or five questions about, you know, did you post this on the door, and were they in breach when you posted this on the door, and so on and so forth. And that's your basic burden as a landlord, to go ahead and give that information to the court. Once you've done that, that gives the court the prima facie evidence it needs to find in your favor. The court will then turn to the tenant and say, do you have anything you'd like to say that could be a defense in this matter? And there may be several defenses that the tenant will have, which we'll get into a little bit later. But if the court finds that your eviction action is ill taken, then they will dismiss that part of it there, and then everybody has to go home. But if the court decides that you properly brought your eviction and the tenant is in breach, then the court will issue what's called a magistrate's decision. It's also known as a red tag. Well, I should say that the issues a magistrate's decision, which will enable you to get a red tag. Once you get the decision, that'll be sent down to the clerk of courts down on the lower floor, and then you can go down there, and usually for an extra fee, here in Franklin County it's $35, you can get a writ of restitution issued. What will happen then is that the magistrate, bailiffs will take another piece of paper out to the tenant's apartment and tape it onto the door. It looks like a red parking ticket, and it will say, you've got 5 days to get out.
Well, you know, before we get into the red tag, which is also called the writ of restitution, in our next segment, I'd just like to end up this segment with just one more thing about the actual hearing. And what a lot of people don't realize, especially the tenants and sometimes the landlords, is this is not their moment in the spotlight. There's probably another 50 or 100 cases that need to take place. And so if you're the landlord, you're best advised to get up there and be short and sweet on your testimony. And that is, just say, yeah, I posted the notice on this date. Yeah, the tenant was behind on rent. Yeah, the tenant's still behind in rent. And finally, yes, the tenant is still in possession of the premises. And you don't need to get anything into anything more than that, especially if it's a non-payment of rent action. And you just keep it short and sweet, and realize the judge is a busy person with another 50 or 100 cases. Let the tenant be the one to get up there and start their soliloquy on, you know, all the repairs that were never made. That stuff doesn't matter, but let the tenant go off on their, you know, 5-minute monologue, which will only, you know, infuriate the magistrate judge more. And sometimes that tenant can become your best witness because they want to go on and on about things that are not relevant to the eviction process at all. So just remember, less is more. Get up there and just answer the questions, yes or no, and be ready to finish up quickly, and the judge will appreciate that more, and sometimes can lead to the judge looking more favorably at your case.